You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. We were on a really good run where we actually had episodes that were happening weekly. And then, as usual, things have fallen by the wayside. So, as usual, we call our savior, Satyen Rao, who is back to resuscitate and revive the podcast yet again.
Wow, such kind words. Not sure the fans will necessarily agree after my previous appearances for the genre of Housefuls. But this time, fans, I'm back for something more serious. So you'll hopefully hear another perspective, a different perspective from me.
Yeah, I mean, we at some point discussed doing an episode on Raw, Romeo Akbar Walter, which is the exact palindrome of war, which is the movie we did last time, which would have been quite something, I think.
Indeed, we should have done it back to back consecutive weeks.
Yeah. But I think, you know, there would have been a risk of you being typecast as someone who only does these silly action movies with only three letters. And so I think for your image, this is a much better move.
Yes, that would have been sad for me. S-A-D, sad.
Okay, so let's talk about Patal Lok, which is indeed a far cry from Housefull and even war. So, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Patal Lok is a Amazon Prime Video streaming series. It's in fact the first series that we're reviewing on Bollywood Weekly. So
amazing.
It's a big milestone. And Satyen is usually part of all our big milestones. So, no difference here.
Honored. So honored. And just for the viewers, Pish has briefed me to keep this quite short. This one. So I will actually start by giving you my quick review of Patal Lok, the series, in one quick sentence. Overall, good series, but many inconsequential characters.
Okay, I don't think I necessarily meant it to be that short, Satyen.
Thanks for having me, Prish. That was great.
All right, pack up. See you guys next week. that would probably be the only way we would actually get weekly episodes. I think I can handle 2 minutes of editing every week. anyway, let's, I actually quite enjoyed the series overall. And of course, I might be slightly influenced by what I compare it against, but, let's dig a bit deeper into that, but only slightly.
spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers wise, we'll do kind of try not to have any major spoilers, so people who want to watch the show can still watch it. But
yeah,
and some details we will have to get into by necessity. But let's see how it goes. So
no risk of major character spoilers for me because I can't remember most of the names anyway.
Yeah, so when you say too many inconsequential characters, I mean, can you say more about that? What do you mean?
I think what Patal Lok does is introduce you to a flurry of characters every like 10 minutes, it feels, right in the beginning. So there's a bunch of these characters that are introduced to you at the start that feel should be a core part of the plot. And you're invested in them and you're trying to find out, you're trying to think, you're trying to draw your own conclusions about what they could have done. What could be the motive? What could have gone wrong in terms of the main plot itself? But towards the end, you find out that, oh, actually, it was all hinging around this one person, but the other three who were supporting characters in this big act, their backstories, even though they were captured brilliantly, were not as significant at all. Like, it didn't matter. It didn't change the or contribute to the plot in any way at the end.
Yeah, so I felt that a little bit as well in terms of this specific thing, right? And I mean, but to me, what I felt was that, you know, given that the series is pretty tight, right? It's 9 episodes. It's each episode is 40 minutes, so it's pretty fast-paced. And so I thought it would have actually made sense to potentially have, you know, 2 or 3 more episodes and then spend more time on basically Hathoda Tyagi, right? Partly because I like his character, I think, is the most
fascinating. Phenomenal character. And he's brilliant. I forgot the actor's name, but he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah. Abhishek
Banerjee.
Banerjee, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's and I love kind of characters like this where I think he has like two dialogues of in the whole series. He's just amazing to watch. I think two is probably a bit much, but not more than five, I think.
That's
one where he says his name, and then like three other things that he says, right?
Yeah, and even the scene where he says his name shakes you.
Yeah.
Because it's very early on and you're like, oh wait, that's so unnerving when you listen to him say it. But I think the screenplay was so good, especially all of his scenes, the way they were written was just, it was powerful.
Yeah. And I think early on, because of the way they kind of build it up, you already, even though they don't say so, you already figure out that this guy is the key, right? He's going to be the most important one. The others are, you're kind of confused why they're there, right? And I actually liked the fact that they dive into their backstories, because effectively, I think the objective was that while these people are just pawns in a much bigger game, their lives have been just completely ripped apart, right? And there have been many circumstances which, without going into details, right? But basically, for all of them, it's been kind of their whole life has been a story of, you know, abuse in some form or the other, right? And in different forms. And I liked that because it kind of then touched upon very prominent and prevalent social issues in the country. Like it talked about casteism in the context of one character, right? Which is Tup Singh. It talks about kind of,
community. Gender discrimination.
Yeah, gender discrimination for the Mary Chini character.
Mary Lingdo.
Mary Lingdo. And then there's also the communal / racism angle as well, right? For this Kabir M. So I actually liked that they went through that, because then what happens kind of shocks you all the more and you're like, this is so crazy. However, I felt that, you know, rather than saying that they shouldn't have gone into that depth, I felt like they should have, you know, they treated Hathoda Tyagi as the kind of same level of depth, or even possibly less than the others, right? His backstory actually I felt was a little undercooked, because it was a bit kind of not cliche per se, but it's not something necessarily new or that you haven't seen before. Right? It was more like a kind of typical revenge story. Yes, there's some, you know, undertones of casteism and this and that, but it was a bit like, oh, okay. I mean, if I had to make a guess, this is probably what I would have guessed, right? Whereas for the others, it was a little more kind of, there was much more depth and much more like, surprise.
And I think that's, I don't think the flashbacks and the backstories were unnecessary at all. In fact, I appreciated that they went into that depth and that much detail. But what I felt a little cheated about was, in a classic sort of crime thriller, when you set up the crime with four people at the heart, you expect that there's something that revolves around them, or that they influence the characters around them because of who they are. But they do none of that. Three of them do none of that. Yeah. Out of the four.
Yeah, I agree. And I was actually kind of disappointed, because I thought, okay, maybe this season is kind of like a setup, right? And then in season two, a bit like Sacred Games, in season two, then we'll find out more about Hathoda Tyagi's backstory and what all the events and circumstances are that led to this specific crime.
Yeah.
And that basically is not what happened. And without going into the details, it's unlikely that we will see that depth of his backstory moving forward, right? I guess it's theoretically possible, depending on how they take the narrative, but it's unlikely. So that's the only thing which disappointed me a bit. But I think for me, the way I think of this series is that it's, you know, somewhere between an 8 and 9 out of 10, and any criticism is like, what held it back from being a 10. And
Right.
And I think I liked it. So obviously, I think by, you know, default, I'm conditioned to kind of viewing this in the lens of other Indian content, right? And by that lens, I think it's for sure one of the best series that's come, if not the best.
Agreed.
And I think there are obvious comparisons to Sacred Games, right? And I think I would say it's probably better than Sacred Games. And the reason I say that is because Sacred Games felt, you know, while I also enjoyed that a lot and thought it was very well made, you know, Sacred Games has this kind of Netflix feel to it, in that it's very stylized and very kind of, it has Saif Ali Khan and it has, even like Narcos, right? It's a lot of it is kind of glorified and cinematic in a way. Patal Look, you know, felt a bit more real and rugged, right?
It didn't feel larger than life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all the actors and the casting, I think, was spot on.
The casting was phenomenal. That was one of my points to bring up as well. The casting was so good. Great casting. Each character fit their sort of the emotions, the what they had to bring in terms of the chemistry with the people they were interacting with. Because there's so many, there's about like 15 characters, but at any given time, there's two or three always influencing the other person's growth or sort of holding them back. And I think that chemistry was so critical, because Hathoda and Hathiram at the end, obviously, not, without spoiling anything, are almost like foils of each other, but also similar in many ways, right? And I think there was a review that I read, which ended with, "Is anyone purely evil? The answer, my friend, lies in the love of a dog." I thought that was one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
you absolutely will not get it if you don't watch it, but literally everything revolves around the love of a dog.
Yeah.
And I thought that even that, looking at Hathiram and Hathoda as two of the most pivotal sort of characters in the whole show, just the way that one has or is meant to represent goodness and the other is meant to represent pure evil, but the lines are kind of blurred because there's no sort of clear distinction, and both of them have that on their face, and as a character, they're just so good. And even actually the other one, the standout character was Ansari.
Yeah.
With Hathiram throughout. Amazing. Like you fall in love with him from the first moment, and it just continues. Your love for him only grows.
Yeah. And the chemistry between Ansari and Hathiram is actually, I think, at least for the first half of the season, what really drives the show, right? And there's a lot of kind of attention to detail or small things, which I don't know whether it was, some of it is for sure from the direction, but I would hazard a guess that some of it just comes from the actors as well, where you kind of, there's like a very large messages just delivered by those small kind of micro actions and micro expressions, right? So there's basically this moment in early on in this show where Hathiram is interrogating one of the prisoners, right, who they suspect is Muslim, and they find out is Muslim. And he is basically kind of, you know, interrogating him, beating him up, whatever. And he really kind of pushes him to the point where, I won't repeat the line, but he basically says a racial slur and he goes really full on. And you see this kind of, you know, he just loses control and he just goes overboard and he says this thing and he hits the guy. And as soon as he says it, he just realizes like, oh shit, I kind of stepped over the line. And Ansari is in the room. And then the camera pans to Ansari, and he is like, you can see from his face that he wants to react or that he's affected by it, but he still keeps a straight face because he's kind of like, this is expected. This is what happens. And I really loved that moment, right? And then later on, kind of Hathiram apologizes to him and he just brushes it off. And I just thought that whole sequence was really well done.
And I actually wrote this down, and one of my points is, it's not his, Ansari is not his reactions that you remember. It's the lack of his reactions.
Exactly.
In scenes. And that's what stays in your mind, because it's so raw and so real when he doesn't react to these moments where he could easily be offended. He could easily have felt hurt, all of that, but he still maintains his composure, demeanor. He just gives you that feeling of, okay, I get it, but I'm above this. Like I'm more than this. I'm the grown person here.
I also liked the fact that they of course made it a point to just, you know, call out various instances of casual racism, I would call it, like towards the Muslim mm-hmm. community through Ansari, right? And, you know, he's studying for his IPS, IAS, whatever it is, one of
it
those.
It was IPS.
IPS, right, I think.
Yeah.
Exams. And, you know, there's this one sequence where, you know, the commissioner says to the CBI head that, oh, you know, if you have any questions, go to Ansari. He's one of our finest. And her reaction is like, oh, very good. Aajkal inke community se bahut saare aa rahe hai na? And then there's another sequence with the mock interview.
Where he's waiting outside.
Yeah, where he's, no, where they basically, where he answers this question about kind of religious intolerance and stuff, right? And they basically give him the feedback that like, oh, you know, for these kind of controversial statements, you have to make sure you remain positive, right? And whereas he gave a very sensible answer where he said that, you know, is there intolerance? Yes. But is it recent? I don't think so. I've been facing it for my whole life. And he said, and it's, you know, you would think like, okay, yeah, it's a very sensible statement to make, but they kind of push him away from it. And then when he's, and that's probably the time where he, where he comes the closest to kind of cracking.
Breaking, yeah.
When he goes out, this kind of other student who's going in and is like, kya hua, mock interview mein hi phat gaye? Like, tera to ho jayega, inko bhi minority representation dikhana hota hai. And he's just like, is this who I am? Like, is this all I'm coming down to? So there are those moments, but the part that I felt the most kind of, affected, or I thought was most well done, is there is this sequence where one of your, eventually inconsequential characters, there's a chase sequence, right? Where they go and chase this guy who's the head of a car dealership. And, so there are like four cops led by Ansari who go to chase him. And initially, you know, this chase sequence is, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it wouldn't look out of place in Hera Feri, like the first 10 or 15 seconds. And I was initially like, okay, I'm a bit disappointed because why are these cops are like so incompetent? And I felt like this was actually just, you know, everything until this point had been so well done. And I felt like this was actually very kind of shabby and sloppy, right? That these two other cops were just like, they basically let the guy escape. Like they're too scared to do anything until backup arrives. And then Ansari is the only guy who actually tries to chase him and then is eventually unsuccessful. But but then it kind of makes sense later on because then those other, you know, beat cops basically are all sitting and talking about like, oh, you know, this is what happens if you send a Muslim guy to chase a Muslim guy. Obviously the guy's going to escape, right? And I was like, oh, that's why they made it a point to show that these guys were the ones who were at fault. But these kind of things, which are just so ingrained in society, I felt that was a pretty kind of powerful statement that they made.
Yeah. And it was, I was having a discussion with Devika about whether actually my point of view is that a lot of the things that they brought up, whether it's cultural, political, classes, talk about caste, things about caste, they were done so very intentionally and not oversights or not just, you know, just part of the script, but they've actually intentionally chosen to show it that way. And one of the main points of our discussion was Hathiram hitting his wife, which is Gulpanag. And what Devika is not happy about is that they don't resolve that. They don't have a conversation about it. There was no apology. And yet we are meant to root for this character. And so her point is that we can't root for this character at the end simply because of what we've seen him do to his wife and kid and him not apologizing to them. But so my point of view is that, yes, but that's a very real representation of what happens, what I think or believe happens in India, at a far more alarming rate than we know to be true. And those are good people still. And that's why at the end, you see them hugging it out. You see them, you know, it's all fine. It's all dandy. And he's celebrated as a hero back home. Even though in spite of what he's done.
And I mean, of course, like you said, I think we are kind of commenting from a position of privilege, right? To not know how these things go down. But I think, there have been times or other films where you've seen that something like this happens and there's literally no addressing of it, right? Here, I think there was at least that moment when he comes back and she basically slaps him back.
Yeah.
And he, you know, you can see in his eyes and in his face that even though he doesn't, you know, give an apology, he realizes like, yeah, okay, I deserved that. And it's kind of unsaid in a way, but to me, at least, I interpreted that as being the kind of resolution. What I thought was a bit more kind of strange, and which, you know, I understand there was the reason for it, and eventually it kind of ties in, but I felt it got a bit annoying after a point, was this Sanjeev Mehra's wife, where, and I understand you want to show a character who has anxiety and possibly bring light to that as well, right? But I felt like it was a little like overdone, and there's no real explanation as to why she is the way she is or something that triggered it. It's kind of just, you just meant to accept that this is a character trait, and her kind of unwavering loyalty to Sanjeev Mehra, I found a bit kind of out of place, because, you know, I can understand at the beginning you show her as this doting wife, right? But as soon as she realizes that, you know, he's not just kind of aloof and doing stuff, he's actually like cheating on her. Her response, I felt, was very just, it never gets addressed. She never confronts him. It's one thing where you like confront him and then because of societal pressure, because of this thing, you live with him, right? But she is just kind of like, okay, you know, I want to have a baby.
You're like, okay.
That's a bit, that's not quite the response I should expect. And even, you know, and they show that, and of course, you know, they build up her, the fact that she has anxiety and stuff, right? And in the moment that she finds out, you see this kind of, you know, escalate. But then that's it. There's nothing happens. She just finds other ways to deal with it without ever, you know, making this a point of conversation. But yeah.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to my point about characters not adding to anything. And I feel like, she was a great actor, underutilized. Same with Gulpanag as well. I think she was underutilized too. She could have had more of an effect in terms of how maybe Hathiram evolved. Because it felt was all she did was literally be the good person at home, always attending to Hathiram no matter what the circumstance, no matter how he was, and trying to balance things with her brother and the child, a teenager with an attitude problem, all of that. But that's all she was there for. And it feels like Sanjeev Mehra's wife was also there for the same reason, which is just to show that there is a person like this facing societal pressures. You have anxiety, but you also have to maintain a good face in front of everyone. And that was all the purpose for these two characters. That's what I felt was a little, again, lacking.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of nitpicking, but I also felt Gulpanag was probably the only character or actor which you could argue was, you know, slightly miscast. I mean, I think there could have been better options to play that kind of person from that, you know, socioeconomic background. And I mean, I don't want to generalize, because we've seen basically, you know, Alia Bhatt, who comes from a very privileged background, play a character like that in Uttar Punjab and do amazingly well. So that's not what I mean. But I think she doesn't have the level of acting ability to really immerse herself into the role, right? And while I think she did a decent job, you always feel like it's Gulpanag playing a role, whereas for everyone else, you just believe, which I think, you know, even in this podcast, which I've noticed, we've not mentioned the actors. We've always just referred to them by their characters, because they are just those people in the context of this
show.
They
are those people, right? You're right.
So,
But I mean, in the end, I don't think it takes away too much.
And she comes with a reputation though, right? Like, she's polished and sophisticated, and she's paired opposite Hathiram, who's the exact opposite.
Yeah. And again, this is like, at like small details, right? Like, there's this one.
Yeah.
Like, her brother is trying to sell this like juice machine. and you know, overall, I think, you know, she speaks in Hindi. She does all of that fine.
But when she's like saying the name of the flavor, it suddenly becomes crazy cranberry. Like, I don't know. That, I don't think,
someone from this background is going to exactly say those words like that.
That's true. I remember that. The juice machine was a nice idea, though. I would like one home.
I think it's,
the quality of the juice was kind of questionable based on the reactions.
I did see another comment that someone had made online about a couple of the dialogues. Like there was one, a couple of the dialogues had a lot of significance and weight behind it. But on the other hand, there were some dialogues like, "Who are these people? They are us." And someone said, "Full props to the actor for saying these lines without laughing." Again, just nitpicking on those scenes with the primetime show where Sanjeev Mehra makes the opening remarks. Those I didn't quite buy. It just felt ordinary compared to the rest.
I mean, yeah, to me it also felt a bit kind of borderline satire of just like what news outlets are
in India. Yeah.
But I think it's weird. I now that you've mentioned this thing of inconsequential characters, they're now all coming to me, which I never felt before. But there's that construction guy as well, right? Mukesh or something. Cool. You know that...
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, he was in Dubai by the end of the
That really weird...
they just send him off.
Yeah, and he has this weird office with these people dressed in, like, togas, giving you welcome drinks with, like, a straw, umbrella straw. And they're like, yeah, that actually never goes anywhere.
Yeah, he goes somewhere.
He goes, yeah.
And same with the other travel agent who also... is responsible for covering up the or providing misinformation about the travel dates. Apart from that one meeting, and them claiming that he's lying, there's nothing else that he does. These people are just introduced as I think convenient ways of getting around exposition, not having other characters.
Which, in a way, I kind of think makes sense because that's probably what happens in real. And I think the reason for this is also one of those lines at the end, which I think does have impact, although it may have slipped under the radar, is this line by the commissioner, where I don't remember the exact dialogue, but basically the line was that from the outside it looks like, you know, this is a broken system and a rotten system.
Yeah.
But once you're in the inside, you realize it's actually a well-oiled machinery. Every person knows their role. And if you try and kind of, if you make a mistake or you try and kind of stand up against it, if any one person tries to do that, that person gets replaced. But yeah, system kabhi nahi badalta, right? And in a way, I think that's probably to your point of why everything in this show is pretty deliberate. That's probably why they do it, right? Because this construction dude probably has no idea about everything else, right? He's got an order from someone that, hey, we need this person, make it happen. And that's all he knows, right? Each person, this Kabir guy who's like a car thief, he gets called from his dealer like, oh, go steal this car and then go with this guy, right? So everything is very kind of neat to know. And these are all different pieces of the puzzle, which...
Did you just use need to know?
That was unintentional, but yes.
Everything is intentional.
Everything is planned.
Need to know basis.
It's because actually I the first two episodes I watched kind of a couple of weeks ago, and then I binge watched the rest to make this podcast happen. So I actually did forget need to know because it was pretty early. But yeah, it points out the challenges of fixing things like this, right? Because there are so many people who are involved and who are kind of corrupt in some way, right? That it's hard to actually clean up. And, you know, only after going through all these kind of stuff does Hathiram eventually figure out. And even then, a lot of it he's operating on kind of guesswork and connecting dots, right? Which you probably wouldn't see.
The one thing though that pissed me off as a lover of the crime thriller sort of genre is they pay so much attention to Hathiram's notebook, and they show him writing down notes, they show him keeping it close to him, all of that. He attends one press conference, and he drops it when he's exiting his seat, and it obviously conveniently falls into the hands of the young journalist. And he doesn't notice that he's missing a book. But again, yeah, nitpicking. But that really bothered me, because I was like, oh, he cannot have forgotten about that book. And he acts surprised when she comes and gives it to him later.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only possible justification is that at that point he's suspended, and so he's not really doing those things. But yeah, I agree. I also found that a bit strange. Not that he dropped it necessarily, but the fact that he then didn't have any reaction or response to the fact that it was gone, or notice that it's missing.
But the one thing about every episode, though, was the consistency in direction. I thought was great. Like, you just felt it to be the same treatment, same pace, same look and feel. Everything felt really consistent. You were in that world. But so, like you said before, it didn't feel over the top. It didn't feel unrealistic. It felt very gritty, real, normal. Even though there were crazy things happening, it still felt really normal. And I could be in that situation in which Hathiram is. So all of that, I think they did a really good job. Overall, like I said, good show, but many inconsequential characters.
Overall, for sure. I would say in the context of Indian series, I think it's probably the best. Made in Heaven might be slightly better or close. But apart from that, I think, and especially, I think this is also pretty significant, because I think it now firmly puts kind of Amazon ahead of Netflix in terms of like the big streamers, right? In India, at least, in terms of like the content. Because Netflix, yeah. I think after Sacred Games and to a lesser extent, Delhi Crime, they've really had a bunch of missteps. Like, none of their shows have really matched the quality. I think they kind of did Prime, they tried to copy Prime Video's strategy in reverse. Because initially Prime was kind of like, let's not care too much on quality, but let's just get shows, local shows, which will appeal to people and that are massy. And I think, you know, they stayed on the right line, where like you have shows like Inside Edge, and stuff like that, where for a very sophisticated audience, you're going to like, okay, this is a bit crazy. This is a bit, the acting is not great. It's hammy. The plot twists are a bit, over the top. But for the mass audience, it's great, right? It's a significant bump up from both in terms of production quality and in terms of, star power and all of that, than regular TV. But it's also not, too far away, right? And I think Netflix started super strong with Sacred Games and all of this. And then they realized that this is not enough. But then the approach they've taken is to just partner with big names and not actually kind of quality check the stuff coming out, right? Like, you have like Drive and Mrs. Serial Killer and all these films which have just been like awful.
Haven't even heard of those.
Yeah. It's been a while since any Netflix show has kind of created a buzz, but Prime Video, I think once they got that kind of thing, all the quality of shows has just been going up. And now they've,
good point,
with that base, they've now started tackling the more sophisticated audience as well, right? You know, they have the Made in Heavens, they have kind of, Family Man and Breathe was early on as well, but Family Man and stuff like that. And Patal Lok, I think, is this, they've kind of cracked this thing where it will appeal to masses and also to the more sophisticated audience. So
good job, Amazon.
Hopefully more of the same coming soon.
Couple of things I definitely won't forget. Two things I actually won't forget are Chitrakoot and what was the other one? I just blanked out. Masterji. I don't know if I can ever trust PT Master again.
Yeah, and I mean, just we're running out of time, so just to close it off. But the one thing I will never forget for sure is the opening scene in, I think it was the second episode, where we get our first real glimpse of Hathoda Thyagi.
Hathoda.
And the moment he transformed to Hathoda.
Yeah.
In the school. And that whole sequence is just kind of jaw-dropping, right? And obviously, yeah, the part of it is just visually, in terms of there is pretty graphic violence there. But I think also just his expressions and the way he kind of goes about the whole thing.
Yeah, the audacity of it all.
Yeah. Pretty powerful stuff. And I was, in a way, disappointed that I think from the perspective of his character, nothing else in the series really lived up to that. You know, it wasn't his entry scene per se, but his real announcement as a character. Right?
As a character, you're right.
And it comes right after, and also, the previous episodes ends with this reveal that, hey, this is not just some random dude. This is like a guy who's most wanted gangster killed 45 people, right?
Yeah.
Because for all the others, they're like, who are these people? Two of them don't have a criminal record. One of them is like a petty car thief. And then there's this guy. And then the next episode starts with boom. So.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal sequence.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to add, Satyan?
No. I think we've covered all the main things I wanted to bring up. Like I said, good series. I actually enjoyed it. It was fast and riveting, and recommend everyone watch it.
Most definitely. And thank you once again, Satyan, for being with us. And as always, we will have you back the next time we're struggling for content.
Thank you, Pish. Glad to be of service whenever you need.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audioboom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TIC Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.